I want to check in now with one sector of the population that, as has been mentioned already a few times, even in these few minutes we've been covering this, you know, it's been disproportionately impacted by the pandemic is women, especially their ability to remain in the workforce. You heard Andrea Horvath referencing the she session, as it's often called. So Jasmine Ramsey-Rezaei, is Director of Advocacy and Communications at the YWCA in Toronto. Jasmine, good afternoon to you. Tell me about what you saw in the budget, in specific to the submissions that the YWCA put forward, asking for support in I guess it was 9 areas: mandated sick dates, investments in childcare, supporting women's labor markets, and so on. Tell me what you feel you heard addressed in this budget.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for having me. I think just initial reaction is that the budget doesn't go far enough and it doesn't go deep enough to address the systemic issues that have heightened during COVID. You know, whether we're talking about the rise in poverty and evictions or gender-based violence or the rise in food bank access and food insecurity or the percentage of women who've been pushed out of the labor market and are unable to return due to childcare and other caregiving responsibilities. The pandemic has really exposed and exacerbated labor market inequities and gender and racial disparities and mental health issues and, frankly, rural poverty. And so all of the issues that we've highlighted and that we're advocating around, we haven't seen any of that addressed in this budget.
The government does provide support when it comes to childcare. There's a 20% enhanced tax credit. What does that mean sort of practically for people?
Yeah. I mean, I guess the 20% top-up in the care tax credit is said to support choice. This is the language that we see repeating in the budget. But the real issue here is what choice will women be left with when our childcare system has been decimated and our nonprofit and public childcare infrastructure hasn't been properly invested in. And so the time-limited tax credits the tax credits and these time-limited investments, while in the moment might be helpful, are not as helpful as permanent and robust public infrastructure investments. And so we've seen no increase in the base funding for childcare. And a lot of nonprofit childcare operators have shuttered their doors. Like, more than 130 have closed in the province of Ontario. And it's a serious and growing issue. And it's really impeding women's labor market participation and reentry into the labor market.
Tell me, just before I let you go, Jasmine, I want to get your sense as to, obviously, the economy needs a push as we move through and out of, eventually out of this pandemic. But you'd like to see a recovery plan that includes women in what way? What are you hoping to see?
Yeah, I mean, we've called for many things that you sort of highlighted to them. We were looking for things in this budget like investments in childcare, in our social assistance system, frankly, perhaps in raising the rates like they have in BC for disability, folks on disability, rent relief provisions, paid sick days, actual gender investments for women and for the agencies that support women's labor market and training opportunities, and frankly, top up for essential workers, which, I mean, have continued for personal support workers, but not for all the other frontline workers in the social services sector. And so without these pieces, I'm thinking that a recovery will be very difficult to achieve. I think ultimately government spending reveals government priorities, right? And during a time of heightened inequality and just poverty, we need a budget that goes further and deeper and wider than the proposed budget. And so I think if we really wanted a budget that is dedicated to raising growth and driving productivity, it would have strong and clear gender investments. But this budget is largely missing that.
Jasmine, thank you. We'll leave it there.
Okay, thank you so much.